How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Back cut, Gordon Hayward to the rack, slam dunk! 7-0 run by the Jazz, they lead by three.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, June 30th, 2017. Free agency madness is about to begin, and we've got a lot to catch up on. It's Locked On Jazz, back at ya. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. So glad to be back with you for Locked On Jazz today. How are you? Thanks so much for tuning in. I did take a little break there at a different time than I usually do, but I was fortunate enough to go to Japan, as I posted if you follow me at David Locke on Facebook. I went to Japan with my wife's family, which included the cousins and the grandparents, my in-laws, and we had a remarkable trip, and what an incredible country, so much to learn from them, the respect they have of their country, and just amazing culture, sights, really magnitude of size. it was really, really awesome. So thank you for allowing me to go do that. Hope you understood. I do know that we missed a lot of stuff. I'm trying to today hit the top issues of the day, and then as well kind of go backwards. So that's the plan today. It is, of course, brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Nice to be able to mention those guys again. Picked up my Hyundai Tucson that I'm driving right now at the airport and drove the family back. Fit all our stuff in it very, very nicely. So I'll tell you more about them in a second. I have also posted at medium.com/lockedonjazz. I think there's dashes between the locked on and jazz. An article, Why Gordon Hayward Should Stay with the Utah Jazz, if you'd like to read it. All right, let's get to the immediate things that are going on, and then let's go to draft day and then go to free agency and then go look ahead is how I think I'm going to format this the best for you today. A lot of me talking, which you're probably used to, so hope I hope that you know, you're all right with that. All right, so The first item is today is the final day for the Jazz to use their cap room. They have all this extra cap room because they didn't sign a free agent last year and they had leftover cap room, and then they didn't do anything at the trade deadline because it just wasn't available to them. And now this is the last window to use it, and they had hoped to use it. And so if they don't use it today, I would have to say it's a missed opportunity, a little disappointment. It's a great example of it takes two to tango. The switch side is how incredible the Jazz draft night was, because it takes two to tango and they found a way to do it. That's the first thing. The quest to get a point guard, to complete this roster and make it look stronger for Gordon Hayward and for just the team to be better. They need a point guard. Today is the final day to use that cap room. Ricky Rubio is really the obvious discussion point here, and we'll see what happens with that. And what it's going to take, Minnesota should know right now whether or not they have a real chance to sign Paul Millsap, in which case they probably have or probably want to keep Ricky Rubio. The word on the street generally is that Millsap is heading to Denver. A lot of these deals are done. Or at least the conversation pieces are close to done. If the agents are really good, or at least know what's going on. If they aren't going to get Millsap, then are they going to be able? That was my phone's blowing up. That was KJR in Seattle. Want to know if I can go on? If they aren't going to get Ricky Rubio or Millsap, then are they going to go get Drew Holiday? Can they get Kyle Lowry? Are they doing something with the point guard? And then Rubio comes over. The timing, though, doesn't necessarily work for the Jazz. Need to use cap space today. So let's keep an eye on that. That's the big one. The Jazz have till, I think, 10 o'clock tonight to use that cap space. All right, second thing, summer league practices start today. And the big news there is that Dante Exum is going to play. I think I said in my final podcast before I left that there should be some exciting stuff with summer league and that you should probably want to get your tickets. And I think that seems to be a pretty good reason. Dante Exum is expected to play. I think this is a big statement by Dante. He said he wasn't going to play when he left at the end of the season, and then he's been working out and doing a bunch of stuff, and it's the right thing for him to play a few games, and he's going to do it at home. So it should be really, really good to see. All right, I'm just trying to fly through a few things. Draft day. The Jazz, Dennis Lindsay had a heck of a day, and the Jazz came out at unbelievably well. It cost them Trey Lyles, which I think is a cost. I think Trey Lyles is still going to be really, really good. So I do think there was a cost to it, but I think that's if you're going to do something, there's going to be a cost. And in that sense, the Jazz have always done under Dennis, they've been picking early in often cases, where they have identified a few players that they think are really special. Now, obviously, the top kind of 8-9 guys in this draft were special, and you weren't going to be able to go get them. The Jazz had Donovan Mitchell in that group. They really believe Donovan Mitchell could be tremendous. I saw his workout. It was awesome. The vision that I still have is a just tremendous catch-and-shoot game that I didn't know he had from his play at Louisville, and that if he's able to institute that in the NBA level, there was a balance, a speed, a fluidity to it that was really special. And if he can do that, he has a chance to be one heck of a player. And the Jazz really believe he could be really, really good. And they went and got him. And, it took Detroit probably taking Luke Kennard at 12, which matches Detroit's needs, but it was a little different than what people expected. It took the long-time conversations going back with Denver to know that they might be interested in Trey Lyles, and so that when Denver called and said, Trey Lyles and 24, you just pounced on it and then dealt with the impact of that. And the impact of that was that the Jazz really like Tony Bradley. He's remarkably skilled. He's got great length. The Jazz fundamentally believe in having a rim protector on the floor all the time. If you're drafting late in the first round and you can get a rotation player, it's a win. They feel very comfortable he's going to be a rotation player. There was a moment in his workout. He shot the ball pretty well in his workout, which he did not do at North Carolina. There was another moment in a 3-on-3 in his workout where he grabbed a rebound and brought it up the floor with a surprising display of skill for a 19-year-old kid with a 7'5" reach. He's really skilled. much more skilled than he showed at North Carolina. That late in a draft, McDonald's All-American, incredible body that needs to be refined, 7'5 reach, and they wanted to have him. The risk was that they didn't think he was going to get to 30. They thought the Spurs would take him at 29. And so using a second-round pick that they didn't need, they went up, and now all of a sudden you've came into the night with four draft picks. You use three of them. I actually like the kid out of Gonzaga a lot. I don't know if he makes the team, but I like him. I liked him during this little bit I watched Gonzaga. I thought he was the reason they were good. He's not a great athlete, so he's probably going to be limited to being a third guard, but I like him. Nonetheless, the real story is Donovan Mitchell, Tony Bradley, and those two guys were who the Jazz had. Now, there were a few other players the Jazz really liked, I'm not at liberty to say, in the draft. You couldn't go get them. You couldn't get to 10. You couldn't get to 9. You couldn't get to 7. Mitchell was the guy that was probably in the top of their list, and then they were able to get him. So they're really excited about him. And he's obviously shown the same excitement to be in Utah. This is a big piece. Now, long-term, what's Mitchell's role? I think Mitchell, one, they drafted him because he's really good. Two, he gives the Jazz great security on two fronts. One, if Dante doesn't pan out, which I still think's in question, but let's let the guy have his first basketball offseason before we have any comments about his game, and let him So let's see. He better be good to start next year, right? Like, I mean, that's the things better be better than they have been. But this is his first basketball offseason. And second is both Rodney Hood and Dante Exum go into some form of free agency over at the end of next season, restricted free agency in all likelihood. But they and that's assuming no deal gets done. But with that said, this, if Donovan Mitchell is who the Jazz think he is, it gives them some security in that regard. So the first reason he was selected is because they believe in him. They think he's tremendous. But secondarily, this is the benefit that you get from drafting Donovan Mitchell is the fact that that gives them that security. All right, Tony Bradley is just a backup center. That's what you're looking for. Maybe he turns out to be better than that, but that's truly what you're looking for. All right, now let's get to the important stuff, which is Gordon's free agency. But first, let me tell you about Murdoch Hyundai. So I met the Chase Marketing Group, came to me and said, hey, the guys at Hyundai are interested in having you represent them and talk about their dealership. And I said, oh, wow, I don't know anything about Hyundai. And I don't know the Murdochs. So the first thing we did is we sat down, I got to know the Murdochs, and since then I've spent a good deal of time with Blake and really enjoy them, understand the pride they take in you shopping with the Murdochs. If you shop with the Murdochs, they really believe they're giving you a family experience. Their name is represented in what they're doing. The eye-opener to me has been the Hyundai. First of all, I didn't realize how many Hyundais were on the road until I started driving one. I drove the Santa Fe for a while, and right now you can get $8,000 off a Santa Fe. And now I'm driving the Tucson. You can get up to $6,000 off the Tucson right now. I've just been blown away. They drive smoothly. They've got great room. They're incredibly affordable. They've got every gadget you can imagine. The safety features, every safety feature you want is available to you. I have been so impressed by the Hyundai brand. Didn't know. Honestly, would never have had them on my list of a car that I was going to buy. So what I would tell you is you go find out for yourself. I'm not going to tell you what you're supposed to buy. But if you're looking for a new car and you're going to keep your Toyota or keep your Honda brand that you've done for so long, take a moment and add Hyundai to your list. Add a Hyundai to your list and just see what you can get for the value. I think Dave telling me a story about Robbie Bosco. Robbie Bosco went to go get his Lexus, and then by the time he was done, was driving a Hyundai Santa Fe with more bells and more whistles and $20,000 less. So go check it out at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. They're also in Linden and in Logan. All right, Gordon Hayward's free agency. I wrote today on Medium why I think he should stay. I think he should stay. I feel comfortable that I think the best thing for him in the long run and the best thing for him is exactly that, is to stay. Now, with that said, and just, I think it's his team. I think it's his style of team. I think it's his locker room. I think Rudy's the best player of any of these teams we're talking about. I think he has a chance to leave a lasting legacy, and I think he has a chance to own the city. And I do think he has a chance to win. I'm not ignoring winning. To Gordon's credit, I think that Dennis Lindsay's amazing. I think Quinn Snyder's amazing. I also think that Brad Stevens is really good, and Danny Ainge is really good, and that Eric Spoelstra is really good, and Pat Riley's really good. And so to Gordon's credit, and maybe Mark Bartlestein's credit, you know, when you look at who's out there right now, they went and to their credit, they went and got the four, probably the franchises that have, you know, other than the Warriors, the best head coaching general manager combo that exist in the NBA. So while I do think that those guys are great and deserve an awful lot, I think that, you know, I give credit where credit is due there, but I also give credit to the other guys as well, if that makes sense. All right. Here's what Gordon's going to do contractually. Gordon is going to sign a four-year contract, in all likelihood, with an out after three. And so the first thing that I think is relevant here is the starting number is 29.7, and the total over 4 years is only a $6 million difference. So I keep hearing people talk about the Jazz have a money advantage. Yeah, that's if he signs the five-year deal, in which case he goes to 172, and the four-year deal is at 127. But I don't think he's doing that. Every indication I have is that he is going to sign a 3+1, which means he's out after 3 years, so that on the he can then get the 10-year-plus deal in his next contract. Maybe he'll decide that he, you know, the 5-year home deal, if he decides to stay with the Jazz, is so good he'll take it. But while he's looking at this, the mindset is a 4-year deal. That's not good for Utah. Okay? That's not good for Utah. It means there's it's a 4-year 127 or 4-year, really 4-year 128 or a 4-year 133. It's an immaterial difference. Okay? So that's not great. The second one, and these are downer points to start, sorry. Every indication I have around the league is that Paul George is going to end up on the Boston Celtics. And so now Gordon has to decide what he wants. I personally would be a bit nervous about the usage rate of Isaiah Thomas, who shot 20 shots or more in 36 games last year. I think I would be a bit nervous about Paul George doing anything other than thinking he's the man and dominating. And I don't think he has, you know, his quote, "I'd like to play with Gordon Hayward," I think when he says that, he believes that Gordon Hayward's going to be a second-class citizen to him. So I would be nervous on this if I was Gordon. With that said, here's a little bit of what Gordon Hayward has to decide, and it's a really interesting choice. If, in fact, the word around the league that the Celtics are going to end up with Paul George, then that team has a real chance to make the NBA Finals. I don't think it's perfect, but it's good. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not try to knock it down. He probably gets, you know, 7 ABC games. He gets an Eastern Conference Finals and maybe an NBA Final experience, and he's on national television a ton as the third or fourth wheel. I mean, I think he's better than Al Horford, but Isaiah's got the ball in his hands, and then Paul George, and you know, then Gordon Hayward. And Gordon doesn't play a game in which he's going to go take possessions away from other people, to his credit. I think Gordon's, you know, I know that everyone loves, I've always said this, I think Gordon's every bit the player Paul George is, if not better. I think he helps you win more. I think he does a lot of things more. But I'm not convinced that that's how it would play out if they're on the same team on what, you know, because Gordon go to 16 points a game, 15 points a game, is that all right? The his other choice is Rudy Gobert, seeing the Warriors up close and personal. I mean, the whole idea I'm going to win a championship, it's ludicrous on both sides, because the Warriors going to get there. And now you got an interesting little thing built in Houston, though I don't think that should impact him too much, because I'm not entirely convinced that's going to work, though it's pretty good. And the Clippers aren't going to be as good as they once were. So I think there's a real chance the Jazz can position themselves for the Western Conference Finals if they straighten out their point guard situation. So it's not as drastic a difference. And one of them, you're the man, and the other, you're not. But Boston with Paul George and a money difference that is not, if in Gordon, it's not great news to me that the word I'm hearing is that Gordon is looking at this as a four-year contract with an out after three. Because then there's no money difference. So that's where we stand on this. And it's a very, very interesting choice for Gordon. And I think a hard one. Like, I think we're all Jazz fans, and we want him to stay. I do too, badly. But it's a real decision. And I feel for him a little bit on the difficulty of that decision. And I think it'll come down to those two to those two teams. The meeting time that the Jazz got is a good sign and really important. The Jazz got the last meeting, but more importantly, it gives the Jazz some extra time to figure out the point guard situation. Is it going to be George Hill? Will they have acquired it today? Is it Kyle Lowry? I just threw it out there. I don't know. I mean, is it Drew Holiday? Can the Jazz get something done surprising people? The understanding I have is that the Jazz, Dennis Lindsay, will be having meetings with other free agents while Gordon's out meeting. The Jazz aren't just sitting on their hands waiting until Monday. The Jazz will be having meetings with other free agents during that period of time. So it's certainly important that the Jazz got the meeting that they did. All right, so that's really where we sit on Gordon. It's going to be a hard decision. It's going to be a nerve-wracking July 4th and 5th. I think he's going to have a really hard time making a decision. I think it's real, and we'll see. Let's hope. I wrote my piece at medium.com/lockedonjazz why I think Gordon should stay. And I believe it. I'm not just sending that out as the radio voice of the Jazz. I believe that he should say. And I will also point out, I've said this the whole time, the incumbent team is at a disadvantage here. They're at a disadvantage team. All right. Now George Hill. I unfortunately am very concerned for George Hill that he may have made a terrible, terrible mistake when he turned down the extension from the Jazz. The Jazz basically offered him 4 years, $80 million, and I keep talking to people around the league, and there may not be enough money for every single one of these point guards. Like, if Jeff Teague
goes to New York and Drew Holiday goes to Dallas or Minnesota and even and a Kyle Lowry even stays in Toronto, we get short on money fast in this league. And I, you know, I feel for George Hill. George Hill's representation has changed. He has his business advisor out of Sacramento who has never represented a player before is representing him. The difficulty for this, as I talked to one person who knows how agents work very, very well, and has worked with agents in the past, what should have been done last year is when the Jazz offered George Hill that money, not just rejecting it on the basis of, hey, Brooklyn and Philadelphia have max money, they should have picked up the phone and called every team in the league and said, the Jazz are offering me $20 million. Tell me you're going to offer me $21 million and we don't take it. But if they didn't get that answer from someone, they should have taken it. It is often very, very difficult for general managers to deal with agents that are not in that core five or six agents in the league because they don't act the same way you'd anticipate other agents to act. Now, the problem for the Jazz is, you know, one, George is 31 years old and unfortunately had a injury in November that made him miss a game in May. Like, that to me is still, that's still an issue to me. I don't know enough to know how big an issue, but that concerns me. Now the trick is, while I talked about that a lot of these agents have all talked to each other and communicated and know kind of where they stand, I don't know that George's – I don't know that he doesn't, but I don't know that necessarily George's agent has that. And so the Jazz are working on a very, very tight timetable here. And with that tight timetable – going on, I'm not sure whether or not they're able to get enough information or, frankly, that I hate to say this because it's not great for there's a moment in time here where I think George is going to have to find out that he doesn't have the marketplace he thought he did. At that point, then he has to decide what he wants to do. But there's a real chance that George could get 2 years, $32 million from someone. Not 4 years, $80 million that was offered to him in his extension. I mean, maybe it won't be that bad, but there's a real chance that the market for George is not going to be great. And then, you know, you deal with a lot of stuff here. There's always the pride thing that if I turn down 4 years, 80 from you, I might be willing to take 2 years, 32 from somebody else, but I'm not taking it from you. And that's working against the Jazz and the George. I'm not, again, these are just hypotheticals. I'm not saying George is doing these things, but that's working against the Jazz a little bit on some of this. That last one's pretty common in the league. Even if it makes all the sense in the world, I turned down, I'm not going back to the guy I turned down 4 year 80 for. I'd rather go sign in San Antonio for 2 years 32 and say I wanted to be with the Spurs than have to eat that crow. That's kind of that's commonplace. That makes it hard for the Jazz. So we'll see what happens with George. But George has got to wait out. What does Kyle Lowry do? What does Drew Holiday do? What does Jeff Teague do? His situation really takes great agency work, right? Agent work. And this is where you having a whole agency would be very helpful. Know what Drew Holiday is going to do. Know what Kyle Lowry is going to do. Know what your market is. Drew Holiday, from everything I hear, is going to sign with the Pelicans and stay for really big money. Kyle Lowry is not going to get offered everything from Toronto. He's probably going to go search around a little bit. And if he doesn't go to Toronto, stay with Toronto, which I think he will, and then that opens up the market for George. Then he's not in nearly as desperate a situation. Then Minnesota might pay him and then they move Rubio. Then Dallas doesn't need him anymore because they have Dennis Smith. Then maybe some other teams jump in. Denver maybe jumps in for a point guard. They were talking about Holiday this morning. Depends where Millsap ends up. All these things play with each other along the way. All right. So now let me get to the final things around the league. I'm hearing Millsap could go to Denver. Blake is staying. The Clippers is the word. I think, by the way, I haven't heard this enough. I think the Clippers just chose Blake Griffin over Chris Paul. And I think they told Chris Paul. I think that everything I heard during the playoffs was that Blake Griffin wanted out. I had this dream fantasy scenario where the Jazz were getting Blake Griffin and Gordon Hayward. Because I know that Blake actually was interested in coming to Utah. And I think it was a good fit for him. And playing with Rudy Gobert would match for him. And I don't quite think I knew how the Jazz were going to do it. But frankly, if we were going to go get Blake Griffin, we weren't re-signing Rodney Hood or Dante Exum. So you're going to put a sign-and trade together with those guys. Help the Clippers start their rebuild. But the minute Chris Paul left, Blake Griffin became interested in staying in L.A. again. I think the Clippers chose Blake Griffin over Chris Paul. But that fantasy's gone. Drew Hall, as I mentioned, likely stays in New Orleans. And we'll see. Danilo Gallinari is a name to keep an eye on. Danilo Gallinari is a key. I think that's a name to keep an eye on if his market dries up for the Jazz. I also think it's an eye to keep on if Gordon Hayward moves to Boston as the Jazz fallback. But we'll deal with that when it happens. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today, brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. We're scheduled for our next one on Monday, but if there's news, I'll try to throw something out there between now and then. All right, have a great day. Well, glad to be back with you. And go please read the Locked On Jazz piece on Medium, medium.com/LockedOnJazz, on why Gordon Hayward should stay in Utah. Have a great day.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.